So there are times in the world where you think you know a story, and then you learn more about why the story was written or how it was written, and you suddenly discover you didn't know the story at all. Classic example of that is The Wizard of Oz, a story that people know and love, a children's story ostensibly about Dorothy and the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion going on the Yellow Brick Road. Then, it turns out, when you're studying to be an economics major, you find out that Frank Baum wrote it as a critique of the gold standard for monetary theory, and the whole thing is a political commentary on the people of the day, and suddenly the whole story changes completely, and you're not really sure what the heck the thing's about anymore, and it's all turned upside down. I could probably preach a whole sermon on that one by itself. But today we have a story that's actually pretty much no different. We have the story of Bartimaeus. Now, if you don't know exactly what's going on behind it, it's okay. It's not something we talk about in the 21st century, but in the first century, it was absolutely the height of thought and knowledge. You see, the story starts by saying there was a man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Well, Bartimaeus is just Hebrew. Bar means son of Timaeus. So it's said twice. It's repeated twice. So it probably should be translated, there was the son of Timaeus who was the son of Timaeus. And we should hear that and say, what the heck is going on? Well, Timaeus was actually a philosophical treatise. It's a book written by Plato. And in the first century, at least, it was considered the height of thought, pure Greek philosophy. It was likely known to everyone who heard this story for the first three or four centuries. And it was one that, well, Mark likely wrote to make sure he could say something about Greek philosophy. Now, if you're a philosophy major, I apologize for what I'm about to do to Platonic thought. I'm not a philosophy major, and I'm going to try and summarize it in about 5 minutes or so. So forgive me if I'm off a little, or let me know too. But the idea of Platonic thought, especially the story of Timaeus, is that there are two worlds. There is this ideal world created by God of ideals, of highest theories and ideas, brilliant concepts that's way above us. And then there is this broken world where we can only see glimpses of the next, where we can only get an idea occasionally about all the brilliant things God has ordered and planned, but it's constantly messed up. And so the great calling of a philosopher, the great calling of some learned individual, is to use their sight to see how God has ordered the world. I'll say it again because it should turn apparent what Mark's doing pretty quickly. As a philosopher, you should look around at the world and see what's going on so you can see what God is doing. So we shouldn't be too surprised, or maybe we should be very surprised, when we hear that this is the son of Timaeus who is a blind beggar. He literally has no idea what's going on in the world, and he can't see anything, literally or metaphorically. He's just a lost man at the gate. And you can tell already Mark is having fun with the Greek philosophers, or poking them in the eye, perhaps. So, there is blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, by the side of the road, who calls out for help from Jesus, somehow knows who he is, calls out for help, and is ignored. At first, the disciples say, leave him alone, you're totally trouble. And he calls out and is even more insistent. And finally, Jesus says, bring him over. And the disciples, probably a lot like the church sometimes, completely reverse themselves. Before, they were the gatekeepers. Don't leave Jesus alone. Now they're going, oh, come on over. He really wants to see you. Aren't you lucky? And so Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and runs to Jesus, or at least moves to Jesus. And again, 21st century, we don't hear it, but in the first century, the cloak was the symbol of a philosopher, So if you throw off your cloak, you are throwing off philosophy to go and talk to Jesus. So a blind beggar throws off his cloak and then is healed by Jesus, but not before he calls him my teacher. No longer is Plato the teacher, but now it's Jesus. And well, Plato couldn't give him sight, but Jesus can and does. And Bartimaeus ends up following him on the way. That is, it could just be he followed him on the road, but it most likely means he became a Christian. That's what we were called before we were called Christians, followers of the way. And so we have a story where here is this Greek philosopher who basically gives up on Greek philosophy because it doesn't help him at all, and he finally sees the true way when he gets to Jesus. Changes the story a good deal, but you may not realize exactly how. You see, Platonic thought still creeps in. There's things called Neoplatonism that still creeps in our understanding of the world today. It's where we tend to sort of divide things up into different little boxes, maybe because of our American thought process of separation of church and state. Maybe it's just because it's easier to think of things in separate little boxes, but we want to say, oh, well, that's just what you do at church. This is what you do when you're at work. This is what you do when you're working with your money. This is what you're doing over here. But there's no such luxury if you're a Christian. I'll give you an example. We're in stewardship season. We're in that time where we're talking about money. We're talking about giving and sharing. And one of the most common questions that clergy have is, how much should I give to the church? And let me tell you, you can always tell when somebody's Baptist because they usually start off with, oh, 10%, right? I should give 10%? And let me be clear. If you give 10%, if all of you gave 10%, the church would be done with money problems for a very long time ahead. Please give 10%. That would be a great problem for us to have. But here's the trick. Jesus never says 10%. Doesn't show up anywhere. It's in the Old Testament. It's an injunction on ancient Israel to give 10% of their offerings at each of the three festivals of giving. So it's actually 30% of their income if you're going to follow that biblical standard in particular. 2 weeks ago, we heard the parable of the rich young ruler. Not parable, the story of the rich ruler who follows Jesus, who is convinced he can do everything, and Jesus says, fine, give it all up and follow me. And that's actually more of what Jesus has in mind for all of us. It may not be necessarily to give it all up, but the idea is God should be involved in every decision we make about everything we do. Said differently, our home budget is a moral document as much as our church budget, as much as our national budget. Where we spend our money reflects how we love God. Where we spend our time reflects how we love God. Where we do anything in this world reflects how we love God. There's not a separate place where you go, God's over here and the public stuff is over here. It's, no. God's in everything. That's the critique in the story of Bartimaeus, is Platonic thought says, oh, it's only one area, and then maybe you can get away with some stuff in some other areas. That's how Plato worked, but it's not how Christians work. God's supposed to be in it all. You can't be a nice person when you're here and then be a jerk at work. You're supposed to be a Christian in both. It is a hard teaching, actually. This is one of those where the rubber hits the road as faithful followers of God. We are called to open our eyes not just to the world around us, but to Christ himself as he heals us. We're called to open our eyes and see and understand that God is in every part of the world. If we can do that, then we might actually start getting to the meaning of today's gospel lesson. We might actually start to be in old Bartimaeus' shoe. We might actually start to realize that God calls to be part of everything and not just parts of something. We might find that God is always near and we need him. near. If we can just open our eyes and see. Amen.